You're listening to the Missionary Perspective Podcast with veteran missionaries Eric Johnson and Joshua Mead. We're glad you could join us. We trust this podcast will be both a blessing and a challenge as we relate topics in world evangelism from a missionary perspective. Now, here's Josh and Eric. Hey, we are back with the Missionary Perspective Podcast. It has been a while since we've been on here. Busy year as usual. There are a lot of ministry activities taking place, and we were trying to connect earlier, right, Eric? But wires were getting crossed, and we're traveling. But we finally had a minute to sit down, and we're going to give a little bit of a recap today, right?
Yeah, wow, it's unbelievable. Happy 2023, Josh. I mean, I know it's September and everything, but wow. I think this is probably going to be a great couple weeks and maybe months catching up and kind of maybe even adding that perspective and see, hey, sometimes in life as a missionary, you got to put pause on certain things because other things are real important. So, Josh, the big question is, what you been up to in 2023?
Well, we have been very busy, which is a good thing. And we're, of course, back in the States now. We're touring our churches both in Canada and the U.S. We are taking a full furlough. It's been about 5 years since we have come back to do a full furlough. We're trying to visit as many of our supporting churches as we can fit in, as well as visit several new churches. And I have a couple trips. I'll be taking back to Senegal in between. Our kids are attending school at our Sending Churches Academy, and we're excited that they're going to have a great year. This is such a great time for them to be able to get plugged in and get some schooling done and reconnect with friends. And then as well, we're just having a great time reconnecting with family, reconnecting with friends. And so we've been very busy with that. How about you? You just took a quick trip back to the States here recently, and then you've been busy as well. How's your year been going?
All right. So Josh kind of gave us the answer what he's doing right now. We'll rewind in a minute and kind of find out what's been happening the last 9 months. I'll tell you what we're doing right now. Right now, we did just get back from a 6-week furlough. And for us, that's been our norm the last couple of years as we try to take maybe 6 weeks in the summertime as the kids are on a homeschool schedule and visit some family, visit some churches. It was a whirlwind for us. It went by really fast. We did get to go to a lot of good churches that support us and some new ones as well. We picked up some new support, which was much needed. But it's funny because Josh is really good, listeners, if you're not aware of this, of keeping people abreast of what's going on in their family and their ministry online. And I took a look at our Facebook page. We actually didn't post one picture about being on furlough until we pretty much got home. And that's kind of how the summer went. I really can't believe it went that fast, but it was really enjoyable. I won't say it was necessarily relaxing, but we did a lot of fun things. We did a lot of necessary things with doctor appointments and buying clothes. Our kids, if you've seen pictures of our kids, they've grown like 6 inches, each one of them, the last year. So when you come home for a short time, you try to restock on clothes at the Goodwills. I've spent way more time at Goodwill this past summer than I ever want to spend. But that's the life of a missionary. So that's kind of where we are now. Now, Josh, rewinding, let's say January, the springtime. I know you guys had some groups in. There's some visionary projects that are starting. Why don't you catch us up with kind of what the last 9 months were, or maybe 6.5 months were before you came home for furlough?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a busy springtime, January, February, March. We spent a lot of time prepping for, which we had planned the year previous, receiving and hosting the MMO, Medical Missions Outreach. They sent a team over in March, and that was the first time that we hosted the team there. They had a team, oh man, I forget how many, but it was in the double digits, quite a few there. And there were a lot of preparations that went into it. We, you know, paperwork that had to be done. And I'll tell you, it was just amazing. One of the aspects I love about missions is watching God come through, sometimes at the last minute, but just watching God come through when there are a lot of headaches and a lot of paperwork that have to be done. So in order to receive the team, not only did we have to make sure we had a place where we could host everybody, and I made the mistake. It wasn't maybe not a mistake, but I was overly zealous when they asked me, all right, Josh, what do you want us to come and do? We do medical. general medicine, we do dental, and we do as well optometry. We can, you know, give people glasses. I said, I want it all. I want all of it. Bring the whole team. Well, being our first trip, maybe I should have, just did dental and maybe general medicine. Because once we started figuring out where we're going to host everybody, we realized our center where we were going to host it, we just don't have enough space. And so we actually approached our neighbor, who's a Muslim family. He, as we explained to him what we were doing, he offered and said, hey, I have a roof and I have rooms on my second floor that are available if you want to use. And Malik, our lead pastor, and I, we talked about this later. Our neighbors know who we are. They know we're Christians. They know what we're all about. And the fact that we're at a point now in our relationship with our community that a Muslim neighbor, knowing who we are, would open his house for us to do this outreach was incredible. And just showing the response of the community, the gratitude toward it. They saw 1,300 people in just 3.5 days. And we saw hearts being open. We saw lives change. Just an incredible opportunity. But we were trying to prep the paperwork. We do have a man in our church who's a doctor. And so he was helping lead the way with the paperwork. We had certain loops you got to go through to get permission for everybody to come. And so we were following each stage. There was one paperwork that we needed signed by a government official in order for them to import all of the medicines and all of the tools that they were bringing. And we had to send Malik and Jacob, or Yanhoba, the doctor in our church. They had to, it was about three days before they were to fly out, the team. And we sent them off to Dakar, and somebody told them in our city, well, if you go here and if you can catch this guy at the right time, he can get it signed. We'll send it ahead and let him know you're coming. But you know how it works with government and how it works with paperwork. It never happens like that. They showed up, walked into the office, and he was there. He had just received the paperwork and had just printed it out. And just the timing of it was perfect. He signed it, gave it to them. They came back. They got everything they needed. They were able to get it imported with real no major issues. And it was funny, when it was all said and done, they all left. And then we were called in to have a meeting with the regional director of medicine. And when we went in to meet with them, they said, now, we just got to let you know that only those who are actual medical doctors can practice while they're here. Anybody else, they're not allowed to. And we had already hosted. It was finished. So we said, okay, that's fine. So that was our regional director. Moving forward, we're going to make sure all those are covered. But yeah, we had a great time. We're looking forward. They're going to come back next year. And and that's where, speaking with Bradley Edmonston, we did the interview with him. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that interview.
Terrific one.
I'll be with him at a conference in Mansfield. And so I'm going to maybe sit down and do a follow-up interview with him for our podcast. But I was chatting with him after that interview. And they mentioned that they're interested in partnering with a national ministry, a medical clinic that would be led by nationals, that they can help with resources rather than them staffing, that they can partner with a national ministry. And so I brought that up with the doctor in our church. And he said, well, you know, I've always felt that God would have me lead a medical clinic one day if he opens the door. And I thought, well, it seems like God's opening the door. And so we began making plans to construct a medical clinic, and we're moving forward with that. About 2 weeks after the medical team left, we hosted another ministry of engineers and architects, in which we made plans for our land, and they were able to get a general layout of where we're going to put up the buildings. We have 4 buildings that we're going to put up. We'll build them in stages as the Lord provides the resources, and we'll prioritize which building we need. And as the Lord provides the resources and the finances will build that. But they came, they were able to figure out how we can put in a waste management and septic system. Our water table is very high, and so we kind of did a custom layout for that. And then they showed us where we need to put the buildings. We gave them our vision, and they really were able to put that to paper. And they recommended us buying two more properties so that we can have space for all of the buildings. And within a month, the Lord provided the finances we needed to purchase those properties. So we see the Lord in it. I don't know about you, Eric, but anytime I sense God leading us, and this is the second time we've sensed God leading us to dive into a building project, I'm very hesitant, and I try to find every reason not to do it because it's time-consuming, a lot of resources and finances go into it. But I'll tell you, we've just seen God time after time make it very clear to us that this is the right step to take. And so, yeah, we've been very busy with that. And then I'm going to have you go ahead and give your recap. But just to finalize, we began after that team. We began making preparations for our return to the States. And one of my prayer requests, I was asking the Lord to send us somebody who could work in our media ministry because our media continues to expand. And because we're entering into, we're going to launch a Bible Institute next year, we're going to expand our church planting. We've been invited all across Senegal to do Bible studies and seminars on Islamic evangelism. In fact, this week, Malik is in the capital meeting with new believers as they're establishing a church. He's helping disciple them as they are getting going. And he's also having it's a tea time that they're going to have where they're hosting some Muslims to have a discussion on the scriptures and who Messiah is and things like that. And so as we expand into these building projects and as we expand our outreach into doing more church planting, I need somebody who can help and partner with the media because with our media, it's very time consuming, editing, recording, things like that. And so I was asking the Lord, would you send us somebody that understands, that could already speak Wolof, they speak French, they understand the culture, but is skilled with doing video editing, video recording, somebody that I don't need to spend tons of time training, that understands our vision and our heart for church planting and evangelism. And about a month before we came back to the States, a gentleman in our community who's a Christian, he said, "Hey, Pastor, I want to meet with you." I said, "Okay." He showed up. He said, "Hey, my son just graduated from university," and he said, "I would love for him to work in ministry if there's an opportunity for him." And so what he does, he was trained in working with media. He does video editing with Adobe. He handed me his resume, and his resume was basically my prayer list of what I was looking for. He's trained with Adobe Premiere Pro. He does social media. He knows how to develop websites. He's worked with all of that. And this gentleman said, "So if you know of anybody who's looking for somebody with these skill sets, let me know." I said, "Well, I think I could find somebody. Why don't you send him over tomorrow and we'll discuss it." And so I met with him. His name's John, and he just he understands. He was a perfect fit. He was an answer to prayer, and so he's been overseeing. He's been doing a lot of the recording with Malik. He's been posting that on social media. And then one of the things I'm excited about, he is taking the millions of followers, the millions of views, and then we have 500,000 followers. And what he's going to do is break down the demographics to where they live, what region they live in, what religion they adhere to, how many times have they contacted us, do we have their contact information, has Malik corresponded with them, and then what we're going to do is kind of quantify that, put that down into list, so that when we start to do tours throughout Senegal, we can invite those who have been following us to meet with us so we can have in-person discussions. And whether we've already led them to Christ or they're already Christians, we can have a specific time to meet with them in person to start Bible studies if there's no church in their region. And then if they're Muslims who are seeking, we can then meet, have a special session where we meet with them answer their questions and try to bring them to Christ. And so he's kind of working on that. He's done a tremendous job already. And so we're just, so much has been going on. We've been back in the States doing our tour of the churches, presenting these projects, and we're really excited about it. So yeah, a lot's been happening. Now, what's been going on with you?
Well, before I say ours, I just want to ask you this question, because I think is it hard to leave when all that happens and you know I'm going to leave for a year? And though you know there's going to be, you know, maybe some fundraising and things like that, and you're going to come back and visit as the missionary, because I always feel like momentum is such a big part of ministry. How do you feel about that?
So on the media side, obviously you can do media anywhere in the world. I still edit and post even while I'm here. But
interesting dynamic about when things are good in the ministry and you still want to go home and see friends, but you're like, there's this two-way pull I feel that way sometimes.
Oh, certainly. And we decided to do a full year furlough. One, we haven't been back for a full year for 5 years now. So most of our churches, it's been 7 to 5 years since we've been in person. And I just felt that because we're raising such a large amount of money, that being in person and presenting that project. Yeah. And we as well, we need partners in the ministry there. There's so many opportunities. And like with the media, I felt, oh man, being back in the States, are we going to lose some of the momentum with our outreach? But actually with God answering that prayer and sending us John, it is moving forward. We continue to have more people connecting and we continue to interact with people all across Senegal, all across North Africa. In fact, in December, I'm going back. I'll be making a trip to Gambia where I'm meeting with 3 believers from different regions of North Africa. And we are doing some evangelistic filming in the Pular language. I started a Pular page, which the Fulani are one of the largest ethnic groups in Africa. And so I launched a Pular page on social media last year, and it's already grown to over 60,000 followers. And many, many
Why
are-
Why can't we get that on our YouTube following? What's up with that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're working with these guys. They're going to do some evangelism. And these guys are working with literally thousands of new believers that are getting saved out of Islam into becoming followers of Christ. And so, yeah, it's something where, you do sense that your heart's always in the ministry. Every day you're thinking of, okay, how's the ministry going? But, we felt that putting the needs in front of the church in person will help restoke just the knowledge and the passion for what's going on in Senegal. And then as well, I think that presenting the needs in person of what's happening in Senegal and interacting with young people after services, whether it's a church or a Bible college, anytime we've been back in the States, we've always been able to see a larger influx of those coming to visit us, young people, Bible college students. And so out of that, we've seen a few people surrender to missions, end up on the mission field. And so I'm a big fan of being in person, being able to speak with those young people and try to be an influence for their decision and where they would serve. And our prayer is that God would touch the hearts of young people to come and partner with the work in Senegal. And so, yes, your heart's always tugged toward the work in Senegal. I would rather be there, but we also understand the dynamic of the ministry God's called us to. I think there's a lot of advantages to being in person and here in the States and presenting the vision of what God's doing. But yeah, it continues to move forward. I always joke with people that when we're away in the States, it seems like our church grows more in our absence than in our presence. And that's a good thing, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I feel that way sometimes too, especially when things are well. I mean, there are seasons of life when things are, you know, you have trials or whatever, and you're really looking forward to getting back home and seeing friends and hitting a pause. But well, oftentimes in the ministry, it's been more like you're building that momentum and you're really excited about people either coming to the Lord or growing in their faith or new leaders being trained. And so sometimes it's hard because, you know, we want it to grow while we're gone. But often if you're the head pastor, and in your case, you have Malik, sometimes you do feel like there is a, you know, we're going to pause here. But, you know, for us, this kind of started last, let's see, this was last fall. I was sitting in a church service in our third church plant, Pastor Elias's church, and they've always basically just met out underneath a tin roof. It's always been very rustic. And it wasn't abnormal to see animals passing by or motorcycles and having this distraction. But for whatever reason, it had been a number of weeks in a row where I'm sitting there and there's, you know, there's chickens crossing by and there's this cat and then there's this, you know, goat or whatever making noise. And for whatever reason, I noticed the people in the church, which had been growing very well, are kind of being distracted. And I just felt like, well, you know, this church has really established itself, Lord. You know, maybe we can, we have the property. We're sitting on a huge piece of property. Why don't we start to build? You know, what would that encapsulate? So we sat down with Pastor Elias and some of the other leaders in the ministries here and really just said, yeah, it's time to build. You know, they're ready to go. And what was kind of neat, they where we wanted to build the church, they were already meeting on. They basically just had some wood poles and some aluminum on top. And that's what they've had for 3+ years. So we decided this is where we want to build the church and actually expand it a little bit bigger. So they actually took all the wood poles and the aluminum down and just moved it over about 25 feet to another section of the property and built the second temporary church as they started building the foundation. And really starting the beginning of the year, we, in just a short amount of time, when I say we, it really was 90% of the workers were from that church or the ministries here. And we were able to get, you know, some of the people in our ministries, we were able to get kind of the labor at a discount. And then my home church came in at the end of January, our pastor and the ministry team there. And really in about a week, they did about, I don't know, 30 to 40% of what the total project was. And so we got, you know, thousands of dollars of free labor out of that, not to mention their investment into the ministry and the materials. And really, in about 4 months, 3.5 months, they were able to start putting that first shovel in the ground until they got the church building done. And it's a beautiful building. It seats probably over 200 people. They have a huge kitchen and bathroom. There's still a little bit of work to be done, but it's been so exciting as the, you know, the missionary who sent out this church plant to see the people fill it up, to be so excited about their church, to bring their family in. I mean, it's a very, very poor community. We're talking people who, the majority of them do not live in homes that have running water or bathrooms. You know, the where the church is built is literally built next to a community bathroom. And so we're talking really poor people who are just excited to have something that's going to last for generations. And so I'll tell you, this is the third time we've been able to build a building, and, you know, buildings aren't the churches, but there is something very exciting about the permanence of an area when you not only bought the property, but you have a, you know, your own temple, your own building that's going to stay there, Lord willing, for many generations. And when the people see that, there's something about the Dominican culture that they really, a community will recognize you as a real church when you have your own building. There's something about it. Now, we understand what the church is. It's the people, but there's something about the community. And since they got their four walls and a better aluminum roof, they've really seen an influx of people coming and receiving the Lord and growing in the Lord and see the leadership that has taken place there. So for us, that was kind of the first part of the beginning of the year to the spring. And so to see that come to fruition, to see everyone from our second church plant, from our church plant, the third one kind of coming together to have the Americans. The neat thing about my home church has just been, you know, amazing over the years, not only in construction trips, but obviously with their generosity. For many of the men on this trip, it was their third time coming to build a church. And so they got to see, you know, the home church back here growing in the Lord, the faithful believers, to see the second church. We had a meeting out there. A lot of them had never been in the finished product of that church. And then we actually had a church service once we got the walls up and the roof up, even though it wasn't done. We had a kind of a dedication service, and that was real sweet and special. And so for those who have been on three different mission trips, it was just neat to see how the Lord has been blessing year after year. And for us, it was very exciting. It's always exciting to see churches grow into new stages of life where you're really, I mean, we helped in planning, we helped asking for those who could help, but really they did the majority of the work. And that for us to kind of step back and see that and make suggestions along the way, but to see them make their own decisions really was exciting for us. It's kind of like a parent seeing your kids do well. And so for us, that was kind of the first part of the year, and that was very fulfilling. It always is. It's a lot of work, like you mentioned. But at the same time that's happening, about the end of the year last year, we had a real key ministry person in our church who had to leave for another country. And I really leaned on this gentleman. He was a song leader in our church. He was really in charge of opening, closing, cleaning. He really had a lot of hats in the ministry for me and was really vital. And he had to go off to another country. And so really left us in a position where we had to train number of people to fill his positions. And in the beginning, it wasn't very easy. I realize now it's probably not the wisest thing to have one person doing so many things. And I was able to have him kind of an assistant, not so much in preaching and teaching, but really just in different roles. But it, for me, it was very exciting, though it was hard work in some ways because it was just thrust upon us very quickly. It was so exciting, especially in our furlough, to see those people who had stepped up and who had been trained for these different leadership positions and different responsibilities, how they really received it well. Even some young people who were, you know, we're really kind of taking a chance on them because I never really relied too much on young people. Just to see right. them mature, not only in the faith, but mature as young men. That was really fulfilling for us as we were gone. And also this year, you were mentioning that really neat story about the young man, or you were praying for a media man and how the Lord to kind of just, you know, by even his own resume, fulfilling some of those prayer requests. I had a similar situation where, you know, as we're church planting missionaries, Josh, and when we plant one and one gets their building and they're kind of up and running, guess what we're doing? We're praying about the next. And I've been praying about that. And the Lord has recently sent a couple young men along our path. One who's really kind of halfway prepared, needs some more preparation, but really has the heart for ministry. And he may stick around here with us, but another gentleman who's been saved recently, last couple of years, and I'm discipling him personally. And I think I even saw maybe some possible pastoral, possibilities in his life.
Right.
And before he even did. And but I was specifically praying about a zone, an area of town that really needs a church. And we have some people from church that go there. We've had some baseball ministry out there, but I've never told anybody that I was praying about starting a church there. There's even a neat opportunity where we might even have a really nice facility to use for basically free, but I haven't told anybody this, and I'm praying about this. And this young person, the young man, during one of our discipleship lessons, just starts saying how the Lord has been burdening this specific area for his heart. Now he's still young in the faith. He's still growing. It'll take years, but it was a real great peace in my heart that, because sometimes as missionaries, when you finish one chapter, like you get a church planted and they get their building and they're growing, you wonder what the next steps in life are, what the next steps in ministry. And so for me, it was encouraging to see, you know, prayer requests, having greater vision for the future, not being satisfied with what we've done in the past, to see the Lord kind of already connecting dots and kind of maybe showing us. I don't know if this is going to happen, but as a believer, as a missionary, as a pastor, you see that, and you don't get less excited, you get more excited. And so that's kind of what we've been doing. And anyway, that's kind of what we've been caught up in. And then we took our short furlough, got some Chick-fil-A and some Cracker Barrel. And now we're back in the action here in the Dominican Republic, sweating all those American grease pounds off.
Yeah, we are. We were determined when we got back to avoid going to fast food and things like that. It's tough. I'll tell you what, the food.
You know how we did it, Josh? We did the same thing. You know how we did it? Before we went, as a family, sitting around lunches and dinners, we wrote down a list of all the places we wanted to go. But here's the thing. I think with a very few exceptions, maybe Chick-fil-A, we didn't go to any of these places twice. We went to all these places, but we went one time. And it helped that my father-in-law had a huge abundance of tomatoes. And so we had a lot of tomato sandwiches. So we saved a lot of money at lunches.
excellent. So you, doing the shorter furloughs, and I like doing shorter stints. You know, we have total confidence in the ministry. It's God's work in Senegal, and we plug in and play the role that God has called us to in pastoring the church there and church planting and just trying to plug into the vision God's given us and moving forward. But certainly every time you go back and forth, it takes time to kind of get that steam rolling again. And so doing the shorter stints, do you feel that it takes you a while to get back into the routine, or is your family pretty good after all the years of experience of doing short trips to jump right back in and get that steam rolling again?
I think because of this last time where we got a lot more, but in the last 2 years, especially since kind of the pandemic, we've seen a good influx of leadership, people being trained, having specific roles. It's a hard thing as a missionary to delegate, but when you learn to do it and you get people doing different roles, we really, I think of all the times, had the easiest transition this time, partly because we had good health. I mean, I think I actually came in with a cold. That was the biggest problem. I mean, I got over that. But really, having good health, having people knowing what they're doing, it really was pretty seamless. And I don't think there's anything special we did. I think it had a lot to do with people having roles. It took a little time in the last 6 months to train some people in some areas. We had some big, like, you know, having a new song leader is something we're very specific about. Took some time, but now he's unbelievable. And we actually have picked up a guy who's a backup, which we've never had. So really it was pretty seamless. I think it has a lot to do with proximity. You know, you are a lot further away. There's a lot more travel involved. You know, I got on an airplane at noon and I landed in the Dominican at, I think, 8 o'clock or something, you know, 8:30. And we had a long layover in Miami. So it's a big difference. Every missionary is different, but, also, I wanted to, because I know we don't have a ton of time left, I wanted to say, is there maybe one thing this year? It could be once since you've been home, or but through all the work, and I know you and I have been very, very busy, Lord willing, all missionaries are busy. What's like one thing, if someone to say, hey, Josh, in 2023, what's something you feel like you've learned?
Boy, a lot, obviously. I would say our theme for this furlough, I always try to have a theme, whether it's expressed in our video or not. I would say it's our theme this year is expand. We're just seeing that what we're doing in Senegal, our next stage of ministry is just doing more of the same. That while there are some innovative tools we try to employ to reach more people, the bottom line is, the gospel changes lives, and we're called to preach the gospel. And I think that's just been two things that have just been reiterated for me this year, is that God wants people saved more than even I do. And so when we're fully surrendered to him, the vision he's given us and then how he's beginning to accomplish that vision is beyond anything I could have dreamt up myself and imagined myself doing in the work there. And so I would say that, one, it's that as you continue to remain surrendered to God, he'll expand the ministry to accomplish his means. And then I would say just prayer, just seeing God answering prayer. It's just this year I've just seen the basics, the fundamentals of Christian living and missions. I've just been reminded time again that God answers prayer, gospel changes lives, and we are called to engage in discipling individuals, to cultivate churches. That's it. It's just more of the same. And I've just been reminded of that whatever that looks like in different ministries, whether it's Dominican Republic and the approach that God might be giving you, or whether it's Senegal or wherever you're at, that the basics work. The gospel works. And so I've been reminded of that, of just seeing God changing lives, opening doors, and we just move forward in obedience to him. And it's an incredible journey. It's an incredible ride. And we're excited about the next, you know, decade of ministry with what God's leading us to do. So I would say that I've been learning this year that the gospel works, you know, And we're going to continue to stay faithful to his calling. So what about you? Since we've last spoke, what have you learned this year as we close out? And then you can go ahead and just close us out.
Yeah, like you said, it's been a lot. I kind of jotted a few things down. And I think we probably had the busiest year of ministry, of activity and conferences and doing things, building, kind of all wrapped up in one. And I think you can do that as your kids get older and you get more experience where you're at. But I looked back, and I say that fiscal year, kind of like from furlough to furlough, because we took two different furloughs, you know, one summer to a next. The one thing I've been praying about a lot lately, and I'm seeing that we're trying to implement, even starting this week with some new ministry changes, is bonding versus big. You know, bonding with people over sometimes doing the big thing. And being Americans, being, you know, from our backgrounds, we often want to do things big. But I've noticed the things that have lasted the longest, that have the best spiritual fruit, if you will, have to do with that close bonding times. And that may be two or three people, and maybe 15 people, or maybe just one-on-one. But really trying intentionally to be working on that bonding time with individuals, whether it be discipleship or men's groups or, you know, small groups, studies, over the big. I did a lot of big in the last couple of years, and there is some fruit. It's not like to say there wasn't any fruit, but I've noticed the best fruit comes from those special bonding times. And so trying to keep that as a filter whenever planning comes. Sometimes we do big things. We're going to do a revival at the end of this month, and we're going to try to get as many churches in the area out. But generally speaking, we're going to try to focus on bonding over big. And then the other thing too, I'm one of those guys, when I find something new that I get interested in, I usually get interested in very much. Like I'm very, very intense. And I have, for whatever reason, maybe part of getting older, I'm 45 now. I had spent some time in the past doing a little bit in our area of personal finances and investments, things like that. But boy, in the last 3 or 4 months, I've just like taken it in and tried to be like take, you know, a 10-year course in 3 months. And it's been really exhilarating for me to learn things I've never learned before. We were good with our money, but I wanted to be a lot better in so many areas. And it's so funny how I've learned those things. Yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily from the world. There are a lot, so many biblical principles, but how much of that, you know, getting your finances and your investments and things in the order they should be, how that permeates in so much part of your life and your mentality, and really can have such great spiritual applications. So for me, it's really been focusing the last 4 or 5 months on using my time, using my talent, using my treasure for the glory of God. But even more importantly, now that I hate acrostics, I hate using words that rhyme and all that stuff, but really that fourth T is like using your team for God's glory. And that team being your family, being intentional, how as a family can we bring glory to the God, and then our churches as well. And so for me, it's been really a lot more of introspection and making sure, maybe it's like I said, it's part of being 45 years old, seeing the next 10, 15, 20, like when's retirement going to be? What's it going to look like? Am I ever going to retire? I don't plan on retiring. Do I want to be a missionary here forever? Lord, what does that mean? You know, praying about those things and then setting plans. And so that's been exciting for me. It hasn't been scary. That's really been exciting and really, I don't know, exhilarating thing about what the Lord can do in the next 15, 20, 25 years. So Josh, basically that's what's going on. And I know you're excited about the next, you know, 6, 8, 10 months for you guys. Same with us. And we're looking forward to it, listeners, to bringing you some more podcasts with questions to answer. So please send us questions. Please pass on this link today to people you know who might be interested in this. Josh and I both been getting feedback from those who listen to us. Hey, when's the next podcast coming out? Also, if you've got ideas for a few future episodes, let us know. We got some great interviews lined up in the next number of months, so stay tuned. We will not be leaving you that far away.
Excellent. We're looking forward to it. And I think you even came up with some ideas right there. The missionary and his money, how you should wisely invest and steward your money. I know a lot of missionaries struggle with that. And so I think that would be a good episode. I think we should touch on maybe once you reach that 40, 45, I just turned 40 this year. And it was a time of reflection, like, okay, where am I going? You know, what's down the pike? I'll be 50 soon. I'll be, you know, my life is half over, you know, where are we moving forward? And so how do you reflect on that as a missionary? Hey, I think we got some great topics. We're going to try to do some interviews as we're traveling with pastors and missionaries that I'll cross paths with. And so we'll try to, we're going to try to get weekly. We can't guarantee we'll be every week, but we're going to try to get more content out there. We will. All right. Well, Eric, it was great catching up with you. And I look forward to this coming year and with different podcasts and interviews. Thanks for watching, everybody. We hope you have a great day.